This is A Sustainable Mind, episode 29.
So what I wanted to do is I kind of wanted to have a little bit of a shock value to it, to show people that there is such usefulness for something that they normally just throw in the trash. So if it's that coffee grounds are really valuable and I'm throwing coffee grounds into the trash, what else is really valuable that I'm throwing away that could have other purposes?
Welcome to A Sustainable Mind, where we delve into the minds behind today's most impactful environmental campaigns, organizations, and startups, inspiring the environmental changemakers of tomorrow. I'm your host, Marjorie Alexander. Today, we'll be speaking with Barbara Lee, founder of Trashy Beauty, which sells body scrubs made from recycled coffee grounds. And she's the host of the new environmental podcast, Trash Talking with Eco Warriors. Barbara, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So firstly, before we get into Trashy Beauty and your new podcast, I want to hear a bit about the role that nature and environmental sustainability played in your life growing up. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Sure. Yeah. I was born and raised in Hawaii on Oahu, Pearl City, and I left the island when I was 13. My parents moved us to Las Vegas, which is probably the most opposite place you could go to live from Hawaii. And it's something that I don't think I really reflected on how that impacted me and the care that I had for the environment until I was much older. So I moved to Las Vegas, and then I spent some time living in Boston for college, and I moved back to San Francisco. And it wasn't until I moved to New Zealand that it really struck me that the background that I had and growing up in Hawaii actually really impacted how I felt about nature and about species and about sustainability and how we live with our environment.
What were some of the differences that you saw maybe between the populations or the cultures between all of these places, how people decided to treat their local environment, the places they call home?
Yeah.
Not to bash anybody, of course.
No, not at all. I actually really love the Southwest area of the U.S. Like, I spent a lot of time hiking in, you know, southern Utah, and there's Red Rock National Park nearby where I am in Vegas. It's a 30-minute drive from my parents' house. So when I'm back, I spend a lot of time hiking and outdoors. It has its own level of beauty, but I think it's kind of this story that gets ingrained in you when you're younger about realizing that there's these invasive species and there's all these extinct species, and you go to these museums in Hawaii as a kid growing up, and it's like, yeah, this is this extinct bird, and this is this cape that was made for this Hawaiian royalty, and it's made from these extinct birds. And you're like, man, this is like a really huge issue. And you learn about all that. And then you go somewhere else and you realize that it doesn't have that level of continuity. And for me, moving to New Zealand, I realized that there were all these extinct species or near extinct bird species. New Zealand, for anyone who doesn't know, actually used to be a giant bird colony before any mammals were introduced. And so none of the birds have any defense mechanisms against mammals. So you've got all these like cats and rodents and stoats and things that really like to prey on birds, and the birds have no defense against them.
That's so interesting to me to really have that heightened awareness that early on, having this mindset. Where did that lead you in terms of your job prospects and how you basically built your life as a young adult?
That's a great question. And it's been such a meandering career that I've had. So I first became a vegetarian when I was 15 or 16. I was in high school. I saw this PETA video, and it was the first time I had really kind of realized that our food goes through so many processes and that what animal treatment was like. And it was this big awakening for me. I was really frightened and terrified to tell my parents I was no longer going to be eating meat. Mm-hmm. And it actually went really smoothly. I was very impressed with my mom because growing up, I ate very unhealthy. I didn't eat a large variety of food, and I definitely didn't eat vegetables. I stuck with things like ramen and chicken katsu, and that was about the extent of what I ate on a day-to-day basis. I ate a lot of hot dogs, which is really embarrassing to admit. I'm like, hot dogs were my favorite food. And then I watched the CETA video and I realized that there's all these things that are happening to things that I'm putting in my body and on my body. And it just, it started from there. It went from food to the beauty products to how I lived my life and being very intentional and conscious of everything, like the companies, what those companies do. It bled into me working as a content creator for a couple of fair trade companies. And I have had a lot of different jobs along the way, from working in retail to baristaing when I was living in New Zealand at cafes, and seeing this level of waste at different restaurants that I worked at was very alarming to me. And also the fact that we were throwing out something to me that was still very valuable. If you're not aware, coffee can be made into everything from biodiesel to fertilizer. So it has a lot of useful properties. There's a company in California that makes spent coffee grounds into biocharcoal. And so it's something to me that has so much value, and it's just ending up in the trash.
So that's where TrashyBeauty.com started, was your desire to take this waste stream, coffee grounds, that can be used, like you said, for a whole host of products, and deciding, okay, what are we going to do with this? How can we package it in a way that is attractive to a consumer and reuse it in a way that's, you know, better for our planet, basically?
In some ways, yes, and in some ways, no. So what I wanted to do is I kind of wanted to have a little bit of a shock value to it, to show people that there is such usefulness for something that they normally just throw in the trash, and to get them to start thinking about this whole process. So if it's that coffee grounds are really valuable and I'm throwing coffee grounds into the trash, what else is really valuable that I'm throwing away that could have other purposes? And I came from living in San Francisco, where composting is a way of life. Every single household has a personal composting bin. There's compost bins on the street. Every restaurant composts. And then I ended up in New York City through a series of different life decisions that I made after I came back from traveling for 2.5 years. And I ended up in New York City, and I was horrified by how much waste was just going straight into the trash. And then I learned about the trash problem in New York City. I think they spend about $1.3 billion annually on waste removal.
Wow.
And sanitation.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and $400 million alone just on trash removal from the city. And I think the statistic is that like 30 to 40% of that coming from residential homes are all organic. So that's potentially stuff that we could be saving money on and turning into nutritious soil. So just try to figure out a way to be a voice in changing people's minds about how they're going about their daily lives and what they're throwing away.
So it's interesting. I've gone to your website several times this week, but as a consumer myself of eco-friendly products, I look at coffee grounds and I think, oh my gosh, I don't think I would want to put that in my body or on my body. But I also don't drink coffee, so maybe there's an allure there that I don't quite understand. But do you find yourself needing to spend a lot of time kind of convincing people that this is a viable use for recycled coffee grounds? Like, what are people's reaction when you tell them exactly what you do?
There's a mixed reaction. I think it's actually quite trendy, coffee body scrubs. There's a few companies that are very popular that make very great coffee body scrubs, but they create them with Robusta beans that are brand new. Mm-hmm. So they're taking brand new beans that could potentially be made into a beverage, and instead of making it into a beverage, they're making it into a beauty product. So those companies are already creating this really great, fantastic product that actually has a whole host of benefits. So even if you're kind of put off with the coffee smell, caffeine itself is absorbable through the skin. It helps to brighten your complexion. It helps to exfoliate and swap away dead skin cells. And also the oils that are in coffee are actually really beneficial to your skin, and used as a beauty product is it helps to reduce the fat cells. So, yes, there's a lot of benefits. There's actually an article that my really good friend Marquis actually wrote that I posted on the blog for my website. So if people want to kind of read a little bit more about some of the benefits for using coffee body scrubs, it's there. there's lots of resources online that talks about how great coffee scrubbing is. And yeah, sorry, go back to your original question. You wanted to ask, like, do I have to convince people?
Yeah, I think it's with any earth-friendly health and beauty product. They're all kind of a little bit out there if you're not used to it. And maybe this one is just so new for me. It feels very much out there where sea salt scrubs, I mean,
sure.
If you've never heard of that before, that also might seem out there. So maybe it's just me needing to rewire my brain a little bit. And of course, it's a waste stream. It's an organic material. So why not? If it has all of these great properties and it can be used for this, why not? But I don't know. It's just this switch that needs to be turned on. And then, you know, I'm going to have to sleep on it, you know. It's definitely something I'm going to have to work through
in
my own mind.
I'll send you one and then you can see how amazing it is.
That would be fantastic.
It's really nice. Yeah. It's so great because it actually really takes out the step in your whole beauty process where it's like, okay, you shower, you clean, you exfoliate, and then you moisturize. Mm-hmm. And it actually does everything for you in one step.
Okay. Well, I love lavender. If you have that scent,
cool.
Lavender's my favorite.
I do. Awesome. It's in the mail.
Awesome. Cool. So in addition to your products and your blog, which everyone can visit at trashybeauty.com, you are also just started a podcast last month. So
Yeah. Tell
us about your podcast, what the podcast is about, and what makes it different than every other environmental podcast out there, which actually there aren't a lot, but still tell us something different about you.
So the podcast is called Trash Talking with Eco Warriors. I actually spent 2.5 years traveling from New Zealand to Central and South America and Kenya. And so I worked on reforestation and parrot rehabilitation in the Caribbean. And I also worked on a UN carbon credit Red Plus project. I know that's like a mouthful.
So yeah.
It's a red. I'm like, I always try to figure out how to explain it. So it's a Red Plus program, which is a UN certified carbon credit. Mm-hmm. And it's companies who want to invest in making sure that carbon is retained and kept in our soil and in trees. And so there's a project out in Eastern Kenya that I went to do content creation for a little bit. And during this time that I've been traveling, I've met a lot of people who work on these really fantastic problems and work on these great projects. And so I wanted a way to help inspire others to pursue these types of careers. I think we get pigeonholed into thinking that being in a green business or in a green career looks one way. And I want to show people that there are a lot of different ways to continue working and having a viable career, but to also serve the earth.
That's amazing. Perhaps
Thanks.
This question is a bit more self-serving for me, but as a new podcaster, because I don't get to interview a lot of podcasters.
Yeah.
Aside from the environmental aspects of your show, what have you learned? What's been beneficial for you? What have you gotten out of doing this show? Just tell me a little bit about your experience. I mean, I'm curious to see the experience of podcasters that also do environmental shows and how that doing that show is kind of shifting their mindset overall.
That's an interesting question. I haven't really stopped to think about it since it's been, you know, I've only recorded about 12 episodes and I've released about 5 at this point. And it's definitely been more challenging than I thought it was going to be. I thought, oh, great, I'll just interview some really cool people and I'll just post this on SoundCloud and it'll just be really streamlined and easy. And I ran into these issues where I like couldn't get my artwork in line with like iTunes requirements. And then I realized that I had to pay for like podcast hosting.
Yeah.
And then there's like scheduling interviews. And I realized there is a lot more that goes into it than I had anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it wasn't a great idea to have a full-time job, start a physical product company, and do a podcast at the same time.
It'll all figure itself out. See, people, it's not that easy to do a podcast. This is really hard work.
Yeah.
It's a full-time job on its own. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, and I have a few friends that I've met along the way who do podcasts. A good friend of mine, Dina, from college, she just started her podcast, and she has co-hosts. So she has people who are working with her, and I was, like, explaining some of my difficulties with her, and she goes, oh, yeah, but, like, you know, Amelia takes care of that or something. And I'm like, I don't have an Amelia. I'm just trying to do everything on my own, and I'm just really lucky that I have really amazing connections and friends. So, for example, one of my oldest friends in the world, Michelle, she actually finalized all of my artwork for me for my logo and my design, and that was a godsend. And then I have another friend who does sound engineering, so he actually gave me a mic to use to record my intros, and so that sounds amazing. And then I have another friend who does content creation and has worked with me to do content creation for this company called Kooli Kooli. It's like a Moringa superfood company that also has a very big social mission. And she is helping me with content, and she's really into natural beauty. So she's been kind of like helping consult with like what types of things I should add into the scrub and what ratios I should use. And so it's just working through my network and having so many like-minded people nearby to reach out to.
Well, congratulations. You really do a great show. You're a good host. And it seems like you're really focused on women in the environmental sustainability space that are starting businesses. So that's definitely something that I like to see more in the space. I don't really think that women are highlighted enough.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate that just as a listener. So keep doing what you're doing. Any sustainable minds out there that are looking for a new environmental podcast, do check out Barbara's new show called Trash Talking with Eco Warriors. And your logo is really awesome, actually.
Thank you.
Good job on that one. You can pass on my kudos for that.
You know, I thought through this process, it was really difficult because I know that it's really important to like niche down on what you're talking about in a podcast.
Yeah.
And I was actually concerned about focusing just on females in the field because I thought it was a little narrow.
Mm-hmm.
But I talked to a friend of mine and she was kind of like, men follow women where they go. They'll listen. And it's actually been really cool because there's been companies that I think a lot of the founders may be male, but some of the other people who work in the C-suite are female.
Yes.
And so it's like, instead of having that same interview with the top people at WeWork or the top people at like Toast Ale, I'm reaching out to the women who work in the C-suite, and they have really interesting stories and journeys to share as well. And so it's been great because I think I'm getting more unique content through this way.
Mm-hmm. Well, keep doing what you're doing. It's good, and it will get easier, you know. Maybe it won't get easier. I think that the trick is just figuring out how to batch and like get your systems kind of not running on autopilot, but like templates, you know, templates for everything.
Sure.
Really, really helps. And I mean, that's with any job, you know, just finding ways to work more efficiently. So I definitely appreciate that you are a newcomer in the space, and I hope even more individuals will start doing high quality environmental podcasts because we definitely, definitely need it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we're going to dive into our 7 sustainable questions here. And the reason why I do this is because I've noticed that people tend to follow people and not necessarily companies or movements, but people really want to know a little bit more about you. They're investing in you and your brand, not just, you know, trashy beauty, but they're investing in Barbara, right?
Sure.
Get to know a little bit more about you in your current lifestyle and habits. Can you share with us one longstanding habit that you believe has drastically improved your life?
It's only been a few years now, but just being very detached to things has been very helpful, not just for being the giant nomad that I have been for a few years, but also being able to let things go and be frugal in the way that I'm building my startup and my life, and being able to afford experiences rather than things has been extremely beneficial to me, I think mentally and physically.
Yes, more experiences, less things, definitely, all the time. However, I will interject and say, if you have family that you tend to buy experiences for and they don't tend to take advantage of those experiences, those family members are probably going to listen to this episode. Just stop buying them anything altogether and ask them maybe what they want instead. Don't force your family because they might not be into it.
Yeah, my favorite thing that I do, though, is, like, I'll tell my friends even, I'm like, I don't really want a gift, but, like, take me out to lunch. Like, I want to spend time with you.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, those things are unreplaceable. I've spent so much time traveling, and a lot of my friends are all over the world. I have friends everywhere from New Zealand to Africa, and it's hard to see everyone. And so having those moments with people are definitely going to be there much longer than anything you could ever purchase them.
Absolutely. I totally agree. What new habit are you cultivating in your life right now?
Right now, I'm trying to get to the gym every day. I'm a runner, and I really like being outdoors and hiking. And it was very easy to do when I was in, you know, the equator belt at like Costa Rica and Colombia. But now that I'm in New York and it's turning to winter, it's been really difficult for me to find time to be outside in 30 degree weather running around. And so I'm just trying to fit in exercise in my life and movement. And so I've been trying to go to the gym every day for the last few days. And it's been going well so far. So I'm happy about that.
Good. What is one item that you've acquired that you didn't have to pay for recently that has greatly impacted your life?
All the furniture in my entire room.
No way. Really?
I moved to New York 4 months ago, and it was the craziest experience. I had just moved back from Africa. I was in Las Vegas. I didn't have the time or the resource to really fly out to New York to look at apartments or anything. And I ended up in a great apartment in Brooklyn, and it came fully furnished. And then all the other furniture I just found on the road.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're willing to do a little bit of cleanup and, like, you know, figure out how it's going to fit within the stuff that you already own, you can find a ton of stuff on the side of the road. I mean, seriously, it's not like lowbrow stuff. Some of this stuff is really, really, really nice. I don't understand why people just leave it on the side of the road. Like, some of these things are almost brand new. They could at least sell it. I don't know. Maybe they don't have the time or energy for that, but better for me, I guess.
I think New York has a giant problem where I think people are really like frightened of like bed bugs and things being dirty. And I think it is a little bit, and I don't mean to bash on like New Yorkers or anything. I think it's American society in general is very used to like, well, I can replace it for not a lot of money, so I'll just replace it rather than trying to fix it. Mm-hmm. And almost everything in my apartment is almost brand new. And same for a lot of the other stuff that we have in our apartment. And it's just, it's fantastic, and I love the fact that I'm not attached to these things because I actually didn't purchase them.
Absolutely. If you had access to a time machine and would go back and speak with yourself at any point in all of the various places that you've lived, when would you visit and what would you say to yourself?
This is a really interesting question. I don't know if I want to go back and like tell myself necessarily anything. I really respect and appreciate every part of the journey that I've been through, and I've learned so much through all of it. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of advice that I would go back and give
myself.
Well,
don't try too hard. I mean, I am getting this answer on an increasing basis, so maybe I need to switch things up. This could be, you know, this could be the writing on the wall. One of the 7 questions needs to change.
Yeah, I mean, maybe the only thing I would say is just going back to the point in my life before I made this drastic switch to being a lot more healthy and mindful of my consumption and my habits. I think that would be the moment that I would kind of go back and maybe like educate myself a little bit earlier on what was happening in my life and my health. Yeah. I think that would definitely be the only thing that I would wish I had known sooner, mm-hmm. that the impact that my eating habits and my behaviors are having.
Do you have an internet resource, and it can be environmentally related or not, but an internet resource that you find useful on a daily basis that you'd like to share with us?
I'm like Ecosia, which is a search engine. So it's kind of a cheat, but it's a search engine that plants trees as you're searching through their ad revenue. It's a really fantastic company. And I mean, you have to search for things on the internet anyway. So why not support tree planting somewhere in the world?
I love it. I feel like I accidentally just stumbled upon them sometime in the last few days. That name sounds familiar, and I read a description that was very much like what you just said. So yeah, I'll definitely link that up in the show notes, and people can go to the show notes page for this episode and get all the links that we've mentioned in this episode so far.
Yeah.
What book would you recommend for sustainable minds out there that are hoping to change their mindset to become more of the change that they want to see in the world?
I actually have two.
Sure.
And I think they're different books for different levels of people. So the book that I read when I was in my freshman or sophomore year of college was a book called The World Without Us. Have you heard of it?
I believe that I have, or maybe I'm just thinking of that TV show on the History Channel.
It's kind of a similar name. I think it actually came out after, out after the book. Yeah, but Alan Weisman wrote this book called The World Without Us, and it's essentially what would happen if all the humans disappeared off the planet tomorrow. How long would it take for nature to take back over everything that we've built and created? The other book is called Ecotopia, and this one's a little bit more of a stretch. It was actually a very short book, and I believe it was written some time ago, like in the 60s or the 70s, but the author has essentially created a alternate reality where California has split off from the rest of the U.S. and created its own country called Ecotopia. And it's written from the standpoint of a author who goes in for the first time. He's the first non-Ecotopian to go into Ecotopia and experience what it's like. And he's writing these like very straightforward facts about what Ecotopia is like and how, you know, everyone learns how to like fix things and all the kids go to school to learn how to farm. And then he goes back and forth between writing in his journal about what his experience has been like switching into this mindset.
And I'm not making light of anything that you just said, but is this at all a comedy?
No,
it's not. Okay. Cause in my mind, as I'm imagining that, I'm imagining that that would be a hilarious movie, but that is just my very strange sense of humor. So ignore me.
No, I think about it a lot though, because I think you get all these questions, right, where you're like, oh, well, that couldn't actually happen because how would they physically separate off that portion of the West Coast from the rest of the country? And then you think about the mountain range that goes from almost the entire northern part of the U.S. to the southern, and that's actually where the border is created for Ecotopia.
Well, the three states along the west coast of the U.S., I think would be okay with that, probably. So,
yeah.
So it's been a long journey, start to finish, and now with TrashyBeauty.com and your new podcast, if you were to recreate the same level of success that you have now, even though you're in the early stages, especially with the podcast, what fundamentals, tools, resources, or connections would you put in place earlier to have more success?
I think I would have started listening to other podcasts from entrepreneurs earlier. Mm-hmm. There's a few really great ones like Founder. I don't know if you've heard of that one.
I feel like I have, but I've not checked it out, but I'll have to.
Yeah, Founder and How I Built This and Reid Hoffman's Masters of Scale. Yeah, but these podcasts about entrepreneurship, I didn't realize it, but there's a lot of things that I think make a successful entrepreneur and a successful person in general. And there were a lot of those lessons that I kind of took away and learned from these podcasts. But also, I realized that I have a lot of those skills and abilities, and I wish that that level of empowerment would have came to me a little bit sooner.
Okay, so before we end things, I would love for all of you listeners out there to go check out Barbara's new podcast called Trash Talking with Eco Warriors. Again, she interviews some wonderful women in the space of sustainability and eco-friendly business. So go check that out. And you can also listen and buy some of her coffee scrub products at TrashyBeauty.com. And follow Trashy Beauty Co. on Instagram. Great photos there. So, Barbara, do you have any words or parting pieces of guidance to give sustainable minds out there?
Yeah, check out my podcast.
Absolutely. Do that. And like I said, we will be linking up Trash Talking with Eco Warriors in the show notes page for this episode.
Awesome. I would say the only other thing that I wanted to say as a piece of advice, but I didn't know if I should say it, is like to go see things for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I struggle a lot with the idea of travel because like I love traveling and I love seeing things and I really appreciate the experiences that I've had while I've traveled. But at the same time, I understand that travel makes such a big carbon footprint on our planet.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that I like to encourage people is to partake in offsetting your carbon. Like it's better to not create that carbon footprint, but if you are going to, figure out a way that you're happy to offset that. I have a friend who actually buys like seagrass. She buys seagrass and the seagrass captures the carbon and nothing really eats it. So the carbon actually stays forever.
Wow. Okay. That's an interesting thing that I have to look into. Thank you for that. Because you're absolutely right, especially with the holidays coming up. Travel is just kind of a part of life these days. And
yeah.
It's pretty difficult to get away from, especially if you have the means to do it and you enjoy traveling.
Right.
But you still feel badly about it, and rightfully so, because this is our planet and we do need to take care of that. So thank you for mentioning that. That's really important.
Yeah, yeah. Wildlife Works, also the company that I worked with out in Kenya, they also do carbon offsetting that individuals can do themselves as well as companies. And so there's actually a great carbon calculator on the Wildlife Works website that you can see what the average carbon consumption is for an American, and you can offset your carbon directly with them as well. They also help protect cute elephants and giraffes and zebras, which is also a perk.
Hey there, Sustainable Minds. Did you know that we're on Patreon? Patreon is a crowdfunding platform where you can go to support your favorite content creators. There are even perks for becoming a patron of the show. You can gain access to exclusive content, be entered into drawings for green goodie bags, and even have a conversation with me. That's right. At the $5 a month level, you and I will hop onto Skype and exchange our favorite vegan mac and cheese recipes. But really, if you've ever had any questions for me or just want to say hello one-on-one, this is your chance. So if you love A Sustainable Mind and you believe that it's adding value in the world, please consider supporting us. Visit us at Patreon, that's spelled Patreon.com, and type A Sustainable Mind in the search bar. Or find our Patreon link at the top of our homepage at asustainablemind.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time on A Sustainable Mind.